Of us in the building today, good number looks like, and others are joining us online as well. We're glad that you are with us as well. But I'm up here to introduce our guest speaker today. I'm not going to do the opening, but I do want to introduce Jeff Archie. And the question I'll ask as I begin is, are you listening? And that may not mean a lot to you, but if you ever knew V.E. Howard, a great gospel preacher of the past, that was what he would often say during his radio program. He would stop at various points and say, are you listening? And I've thought about doing that sometimes in my sermons, because indications are that maybe you're not. But
as it's part of International Gospel Hour history, you have every right.
All right, I've been given the right to use that phrase. It's not copyrighted. But Jeff Archie is with us today. He works with the International Gospel Hour. If you were not here for the Sunday School Hour in this auditorium, you ought to go back and look at the YouTube video or Facebook video of it later, because it was very interesting, very informative, and it tells us that the gospel is going into all the world through a lot of means, but this is one of the significant means out there. Jeff is a gospel preacher. He has worked with International Gospel Hour for the last few years. I first got acquainted with him through Polishing the Pulpit, that annual event in Sevierville, Tennessee, that's coming up in about 2 weeks or so. And I hope he'll say a word or two about that as well. His wife, Renita, is not able to be with us this trip, but we know she is a very important part of the work. Jeff spoke twice yesterday at the Men's Fellowship, and what a great day that was. We had around 160 men, we think, and I know you ladies are snickering, thinking, well, we had over 200. Okay, challenge accepted. We're going to do better next year, but we're so glad Jeff is with us today. He's going to speak for us at the worship hour, then he'll be on the road going to Knoxville this evening at the West End Church, I believe, this evening. So just wanted to introduce him now, and that way our worship will not be interrupted. Gene Arrowood will now open our worship service.
I will add my good morning to Tim's good morning, so everybody ought to feel like it's a good morning. especially if you're here or online, we're glad you've joined us today. Appreciate your presence, and we have visitors, and we'd like to welcome the visitors. We love visitors, so get acquainted with some, let us get acquainted with you and invite you back at every opportunity. We're going to start our worship service with a scripture found in James. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things they are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, faith without works is dead. And now we begin with singing, with our song service.
Holy, 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 Lord, God Almighty, our Son, shall rise to thee.
Holy, holy, holy,
Be seated, please. After we sing Holy Ground, we will go to our Father in prayer.
If you're able, would you please stand as we go to God in prayer. Our most gracious and righteous Heavenly Father, the Creator of us all, the one who sustains our life, the one from 10,000 blessings flow, Lord, we thank you that you've given us an opportunity to fulfill a commandment to assemble upon the first day of the week. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are unable to assemble because of health reasons, but we thank you for the avenue of virtuality that they can watch our worship service. Be with Jeff today, Heavenly Father, as he presents a lesson to us from your word. Heavenly Father, we look back just at Kentucky and see the things that have happened because of the flood, and we pray for those people that have lost everything. But Heavenly Father, looking at that, we realize that how frail life is, and in any moment things can be taken from us from a material value. But realizing, Heavenly Father, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, that our treasures aren't here, but they're in heaven. We pray, Heavenly Father, that for those that are sick, those of this number, those that we're aware of, that we realize, Heavenly Father, when we lose even a small portion of our health, how truly important and how blessed we are. Heavenly Father, we look back at this world and we realize so many things are contrary to your will, and mankind tries to guide his own steps, have his own reasoning of things, but we realize, Heavenly Father, that is futile. Help us, Heavenly Father, as your children, that we're that onward Christian soldiers, never lukewarm, realizing, Heavenly Father, that your word creates no second place, but you're supposed to be first place in our lives. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll always put you first. Heavenly Father, you're the potter and we're the clay. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we will be molded in your will. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the most precious gift that mankind ever receive was our Lord and Savior, a death that was cruel and inhumane, but one that you required even before the foundation of the world. We thank you that he was willing to do that He rose the third day, and he's ascended to you in heaven. And he's promised us, if we remain faithful, that we can have that home that was prepared for us. Lord, now as we continue in this worship service, help us to dismiss anything of a worldly nature. Forgive us of our transgressions. Help us to always do your will in all things. And Heavenly Father, we pray at this time for the young people, that so many things that are in this world that are contrary to your will. We pray, Heavenly Father, the influence they've received is from your word, and for brothers and sisters in Christ, parents and grandparents, that they bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before the scripture reading and Brother Archie brings us the lesson, we will sing Highest Place.
Now's the time, if you have young children, we have a children's training class, and right now would be a good time to go to that. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. And that's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. To me, who am less than the least of all, the saints, the grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who's created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord.
I echo the words of the psalmist in Psalm 122 in verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I was glad when Tim called me and asked me to be a part of the Mountain Men's Fellowship yesterday, was honored and got to meet several of you good brothers and appreciate your good work. I told Tim yesterday afternoon that what impressed me as I looked around, and it seemed everybody had a job to do and they did it well, And it was such a good day, and I know that you are giving to brethren throughout eastern Tennessee and in southern Virginia and southern southeastern Kentucky, that they have an opportunity to come among other brethren for iron to sharpen iron, as we know from Proverbs 27:17. When I was thinking of the lesson this morning to bring here, I know I was going to speak of my work at International Gospel Hour, and thank you for your kind remarks from last hour, and I appreciate Tim's remarks as well. But as I thought about what to speak on this morning, I wanted to give something back to you. You have served well. Okay, Tim, the ladies had 200. We had about 160. I can tell you why. Cindy Colley. Cindy Colley can do a class on how to open a can of soup and flood a room and polishing the pulpit. Cindy works very hard. And I count Cindy as a dear friend and sister in Christ, and her husband Glenn as a dear brother. And I know you ladies were exhorted well. Brothers, I enjoyed the time with you yesterday and hope that we did some things to help us grow. And now to you as the congregation, I'd like to bring forth a lesson this morning based out of Ephesians 3 to encourage you and to say, keep on keeping on for the good that you do as the church. As Tim mentioned, my work with polishing the pulpit. My work is very simple. I do a lot of emceeing work in the evenings, keep things going. A lot of my work is done behind the scene before we get there. The directors do a wonderful job, and we are excited to be back together after a 2-year hiatus. And we realize that we are coming back. It's going to be something rather new to us and something fresh. Several of you attend polishing the pulpit. Now, polishing the pulpit is not only for preachers. Polishing the pulpit is for every member of the Lord's church to renew, to refresh, and to recharge. If you are a deacon, there are deacon's classes to help you so you can hone and do your work better. If you are an elder, there are opportunities for an elder of studies within that. My father-in-law served as an elder. Actually, he has served on 7 different occasions as an elder in the local congregation where he and my mother-in-law attend. And I remember him telling me that what strengthened him in those meetings and to be with other elders is that he realized he wasn't alone, that the problems that he and his fellow elders faced, other elders faced, and they were able to help each other. If you're a Bible school teacher and you want to sharpen and be fresh in Bible school teaching, polishing the pulpit's just for you. If you are a teenager, we have an awesome teen program. If you are looking to get married, we even have singles opportunities as well. Just this past week or 2 weeks ago, a couple out in Texas, Chris Aiken and his wife, had a beautiful little baby. Chris and Catherine had that beautiful, not Chris, Chris is his daddy. Anyway, brother and sister Aiken had a baby. Hey, look, I can remember Methuselah, but can't remember, Stephen, that's it. Yeah, Stephen and Catherine had a little baby. Stephen and Catherine met at polishing the pulpit. Y'all getting the picture? We are thankful for that opportunity. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to try it. If you can come to the pre-conference on Wednesday through Friday, starts in 2 weeks, I want you to come. If you can come on the weekend or for the full week, I want you to try it. We have people that say, I'm coming back. We have people that come for the weekend that do not want to go home. And we believe it will be of great encouragement to you and help you in your work as a child of God. Go to polishingthepulpit.com. You'll see all the details. If you have any specific questions, please friend me on Facebook, Jeffrey R. Archie. Friend me on Facebook, or Tim will give you my email. And Tim, if you really love those brethren, you can give them my phone number. And so anyway, but if you want to know more, and you can see me afterward as well, and I would be more than happy. From the beginning of the world, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. excerpt from our text of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. As you think about that word purpose, think of it this way, that through the ages, one eternal purpose is running. From the beginning of time, before God even said, "Let there be light," he knew that there would be the light, Jesus Christ, of whom he would send into the world to redeem man. For his blood that redeems us, as it said in Revelation 13:8, was shed, or as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When you think about the church that he purposed within Jesus Christ, that in a day and era of hundreds of churches, God only intended for there to be one church, one body, one Lord. The church was purposed in Jesus Christ. That's here in verse 11. The church was never an afterthought of God, that in the garden when Adam sinned, God looked down and said, "Oh, great, now what do I do?" and went with plan B. No, with God always, it's plan A. God had a plan for man's redemption through Christ. And the church itself, when it is presented in its purity, it reflects God's wisdom. The church is not, should never be compared to another denomination or a denomination, for the church is not a denomination. The church is the pre-denominational body of Christ. Before any denominations came into existence, God knew there would be but one. We would do well to point ourselves to the church that is made known through the Christ, and we can only do so by the Holy Scriptures that we have in our hands, whether in print, pages we turn, or app that we may pull up. And to think about the Lord's church and how it is purposed in Christ, let's define the word church. The word church is a word that means the called out ones, or also the word assembly, which means the called out assembly for a purpose that is purposed in Christ. For example, and I'm not trying to strain or pick here, but someone says, "Well, let's go to church." Now, we know that terminology and we can understand it, and there's no need to draw a line of fellowship with it. But when you think about it, we don't go to church. The church goes to worship. The church is called out as an assembly. You and I look upon the church of our Lord Jesus Christ more than a social gathering. Fellowship is embraced and involved and must be, but we look upon the church as the called out assembly to carry out his purpose that he purposed in Christ Jesus. The first time the word is used is in Matthew 16:18, where Jesus himself said unto Simon Peter, who confessed that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he told him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are Peter. Upon this rock," that confession, that solid bedrock, "upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." When we think about the word church, and Christ says, "I will build my called out. I will build my assembly. I will build those that will carry it out." So, dear friends, we are noted as individuals who are the called out of the world as an assembly for God's purpose through Christ. When you think about how we are called out, we're called out through the preaching of the gospel message. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:14, when Paul said, "You were called by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Within that gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That is a gospel that we can hear and understand, as Jesus pled for us to hear and understand in Matthew 15:10. John the Baptizer went preaching the kingdom. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry went preaching the kingdom. Upon the day of Pentecost, they proclaimed preaching the kingdom. They upheld the Christ. And as we hear that gospel message that will redeem mankind, then we must believe it and grasp that belief. But true biblical belief is not just simply believing, For those in John 12, 42 and 43 believed on Christ, but they failed to confess Him. I know of many individuals that say, well, I believe in God, and make that statement as a justification to live any way they want. True biblical belief, true godly belief has always been, just as sure as our beloved brother read moments ago as we began our worship, true biblical belief and godly belief is believing in God and moving after God with what He says. And through His Son Jesus, the purpose, Jesus says you can repent of your sins. Individuals think that I can never be forgiven. Oh, you don't underestimate the cross of Christ. When we repent of our sins, we turn away, we turn toward God, we change our decision, change our direction, and the one through whom the church's purpose said that in Luke 13, 3 and 5. When we confess Him before men, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, the confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the heart that has believed unto righteousness, the mouth where confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then we are baptized into Christ upon the command of the one through whom the church is purposed, Jesus Christ. He that believes, Jesus said, and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16, verse 16. Peter on the day of Pentecost not only preached to repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, but he also in his writing in 1 Peter 3:21 said the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. It's not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Then we are added to His church. The church, yes, that He purposed. The church that we read of in the New Testament. The church and the only church that I have the purpose to put forth and to bring forth and say, this is the church of which you are to be a member. And when we're added to His church, not a vote to be joining or anything of that nature, when we're added to His church, just like they were in the New Testament, Acts 2 and verse 47, when we go up a little bit earlier, we find those added to the church were thriving, working, and let's say that when the called out answered, the called out still answers. Central of Johnson City, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do. This is for you. And those in our audience who have yet to obey the gospel of Christ, we just noted what one does to obey the gospel. There is no greater thing you can do than to cast your care upon the Lord and to respond to Him in simple trusting faith. A heart that is changed, repentant, confessing Christ, buried with Him in baptism. This you must do. Raised to walk in newness of life, newness that continues spiritually. Oh, I know the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and following. And as the Ephesian brethren, we continue to renew ourselves in the spirit of our mind, putting on the new man and keeping the old man of sin crucified. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. The called out, the assembly. Church, for the next few moments, how does the called out answer? Number one, we are called out to serve. In John 15, 19 and 20, Jesus reminded that the servant is not greater than his Lord. And as he is our Lord and Master in Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus said that he came not to serve, or he came not rather to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Can you serve? In Romans chapter 6, when we see in verses 3 through 6 of one baptized into Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, has a new walk in Christ, we go down to about verses 17 and 18, and Paul said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's going back to Romans 6, 4 through 6. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of, or if you will, the meaning of the word there, slaves of righteousness. Not saying this to get any humor, but folks, I'd rather be a servant of righteousness than a servant of wrongousness. And if you're thinking wrongousness is not a word, it is now. I would rather be a servant of something right than a servant of something wrong. Because when I'm wrong, I need to change. And through Christ that I can. Called out assembly when we serve. We want others to see not ourselves, but the light of Christ. In Matthew 5:16, we are reminded to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Therefore, we should glorify God in our body and in our spirit. In 1 Peter 2:9, as the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the people for God's possession. Aha, there it is. The people for God's possession, the called out assembly according to his purpose, people for his own possession, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Show forth the light. Glorify God. Show forth his praises. How does the called out answer? We answer by serving. We respond to those in need spiritually and physically. You know, the words outside of the Gospels attributed to Christ in Acts 20:35, along with Revelation 1 and 2 or 1 through 3, we note that in Acts 20:35, the words of Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We see that in the book of Acts, as we noted moments ago from Acts 2:44-45. Even in Acts 4:34-35, of how the church gave. Dear friends, we need to serve. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I was telling Steve over here yesterday, Steve that handled and directed us so well in our Mountain Men's Fellowship. We were told by Steve, when we start singing, stand up. We were standing up, we were sitting down. Great strategy. Gave us a little break in there. Moments ago, we were asked to stand. We were asked to stand a while ago. Folks, I was tempted to pull a little bit out of Nehemiah and ask you to stand as I preached the whole time. I thought, you are a standing church. And how grateful we are. But folks, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Yesterday, first session, it was Scott, right? Keeping our time. Scott never flashed the card for me to stop. I was determined to stop before he did it. I stopped 1 minute early. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I received 4 minutes back for the last session. Then I remember the words of my wife, who would graciously say in love and grace, just because you got it doesn't mean you always have to use it. Folks, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can't outgive God. Let me tell you something, church. Our beloved brothers and sisters and neighbors over the line in Kentucky, if we learned one thing yesterday, if you think sending relief just one time is all it needs, brethren, you best gird your loins. And we will give. And you are a congregation that serves and a congregation that gives. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more of our nature of our Lord and Savior to serve than be served. How can I help? How can I serve? We are called out to serve. Second, going to stay with the letter S. We are called out to support. We are called out to support. Hebrews 3. In verse 3, for this one, speaking of Christ, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for the testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house. Now watch it, church. Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Whose house we are. Now let's bring into that 1 Timothy 3:15, when Paul told Timothy, if I tarry long, I want you to know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. As the called out, we are to support. We are the pillar and the ground of the truth. Pillars that uphold buildings. Those huge pillars of the Parthenon in Nashville. Those huge pillars that when you walk throughout what we would call the Holy Lands or walk through Israel and you see in the city of Capernaum the rebuilding of the synagogue and you see how they have tried to structure those huge pillars to uphold the pillar and ground of the truth, how solid it is. And church, we are to be individuals that are called out to support the truth. And nothing but the truth. Truth that will make men free, John 8:32. Truth that will keep us free, John 8:32 through 34. Truth that is absolute certain through Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth that is not false. Truth that cannot be shot down through whatever may come. As in the old poem, of the anvil and the hammer, to where the one walking, looking within the blacksmith's shop, seeing all the hammers on the floor, but one anvil stands, and how the blacksmith taught that the anvil will remain strong. It's the hammers that wear out. The conclusion, there's every kind of hammer that's been brought against God's word, and those hammers fall to the ground, for they're human made. But the word of truth stands solid because it's godly, and it's the anvil that will stand always forever. We need to make certain and to renew ourselves in supporting, upholding the truth. To have elders who are shepherds that watch out for the flock, to keep the wolves away. And in the realm of Galatians chapter 2, not even for 1 hour allow anyone to come in and take damage. For deacons to be revived in their work and to carry forth within the spirit of Acts chapter 6 and to carry forth that as they carry forth their work, the gospel continues on. For every Bible school teacher to look upon your Bible class as a mission field, not only to teach those little children that you have or those teenagers, but to also be involved into their lives with their parents. Dear friends, we all have a work to do and things that we can accomplish. But we are called out to support and to uphold the truth. So we serve, we support. Here's your third one. We are called out to speak, to let things be known. From Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission text of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as Jesus Christ is the head of the body of the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, God gave him all authority and he gave the same authority to us. To go out into all the world and preach the gospel. To be like those in Thessalonica and 1 Thessalonians 1:8, to sound out the word of the Lord. That when persecution came upon the church in Acts 8 and verse 1, they were scattered abroad. But verse 4 said, they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word. And to see the end result, if you will, not the end, but even the beginning of it. But what had happened? In Colossians 1 and verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The gospel went out into all the world. The excitement of last hour, talking about our work at International Gospel Hour, is how the word of the Lord knows no bounds, 2 Timothy 2:9. The gospel goes throughout all the world, whether over the air radio, YouTube, television, internet, podcast platform options, apps on your smartphone, whatever. The gospel is able to go throughout all the world and for people to learn more about the gospel of Christ. It wasn't long after we were moving more onto podcast, Amazon Music contacted us. We're bringing forth a podcast platform. We want to use your program. Thank you. Sometime after that, a lady in the Bronx, New York, wrote us and said, I heard your broadcast on Amazon Music. Would you please send me some study material? To God be the glory. Folks, we were not over the air radio in the Bronx, New York. We're on in Upper New York, Troy, Albany, Schenectady. The reason I mention that is, folks, I've got to confess, an old country boy like me that can say Schenectady, he gets a chance to say it every time he can. And I want you to know that that is how the Word of God is not bound. People are out there, they're searching and they're looking. They're weary with hearing theories of men, thoughts of religious leaders, individuals that want to go more after money than more after the souls of men. Not one broadcast from the International Gospel Hour has ever or will ever ask for funds from listeners. Not one. Thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ who help us sound out the word of the Lord. Listen to me, church. When the elders here issue you a challenge to open the doors and be more mission-minded, you take it. They're not going to pull away from something you need at home. Folks, let's be honest, you're in pretty good shape here. But when they see open doors, go for it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We are servants, we support it, and we speak on it. But not only speak in evangelism, but don't ever underestimate yourself to edify yourselves. Speak in edification, to build up the church, not physically, but spiritually. To follow after the things which make for, or the follow after the things wherewith one may edify one another. Romans 14:19. You know, the early church was edified when Saul was converted. I'm sure they were. They were edified, built up, strengthened. Here was one against them that is now with them and for them. And even the preaching of the word in Acts 20:32. To present unto them the word of God. The word of his grace, which is able to build us up, to encourage, to edify us. Speak out the gospel in evangelism, but also speak out and edify ourselves. May I challenge you, dear brother or sister in Christ, that you have access to your mission field. It's a friend that may want to learn of the gospel, or a friend that may ask you about the work that you do here. And there is an open door for you to talk with them about the gospel and to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, dear church, we are the called out. We are the called out for Christ. Called out according to his purpose to be the servants he would have us to be. To support the truth that he died on the cross to bring forth. And also to strengthen and uplift us as we speak to one another and as we teach the truth. I will ask you again, kind friend, are you part of the called out today? Once again, will you allow the gospel of Christ to touch your heart today? Will you believe in Christ? You probably are already there. You're probably already at that part of faith that I need to make a decision. Now your heart is turning the right way. You're turning your heart. You're changing your heart. That's repentance. I'm not living like this anymore. It's time for me to obey the gospel today. And come and confess the name of Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And today, be buried with him in the waters of baptism for those sins to be washed away. You're raised to walk in newness of life. Your old man is crucified. The new man is now living and God is magnified. And you can begin your walk with Jesus Christ, added to his church, to be his servant, to be a supporter, and to be one that will speak of the good things God has done for you. Do you need to be part of the called out? Or dear brother or dear sister, has the world called you back? And the world called you to where you need to come back unto our Lord? You're struggling. You're having challenges within your faith. Why not come and ask for the power of prayer of your brothers and sisters in Christ as we bear one another's burdens? If there is sin to confess to for a heart to be right as a child of God, follow the pattern of Simon, your brother, in Acts chapter 8. Confess those sins and let us pray with you and pray for you. Whatever your need may be, will you come at this time as we stand and as we sing together?
Be seated, please. Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing, O Lamb of God.
Your holy Son.
You want to turn with me to John chapter 15. I'm going to be there in just a minute. John chapter 15. This is when Jesus is teaching about the vines and the branches. And Brother Jeff here, he referred to it during his lesson. And I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, the NIV. And I'm going to start in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. We've been studying in Isaiah, and we've been going in detail of everything that Jesus went through for us. Brother Danny just led a song about the Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb of God that washes us white as snow. The plan from the beginning, which Brother Jeff mentioned, was for us to be seen as pure in God's eyes, and that required this sacrifice. Now, when we partake of this, we can sometimes feel sorrow, we can feel sad, it's just natural to feel that when we go through and we think about what this man came down here and did for us. And we've all agreed that he was fully man and he felt everything. But He didn't come down here for us to feel sorrow. That's not why he came here. Look back up in the verse just above what I just read. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He wants us to live lives full of joy. There's a huge difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is determined by our circumstances. Joy is what we have as Christians despite our circumstances. And we can go out there and preach this word with power because we know that through God, we can do all things. And we have the authority. Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth. And he's given us this to fulfill the Great Commission, to go out and preach the gospel. So we can live lives of victory. Victory was mentioned in class this morning. He doesn't want us to feel like victims. Feel like victors. When we walk out this door and we speak to this world, we're victors. That's for Christians. For those who aren't Christians, there's no victory. Paul mentions the procession that comes in from the Romans. The great victory is coming. And on one side is going to be the victors. On the other side is going to be the victims. And we get to choose. This was all made possible by this sacrifice. And these are the emblems that was given to us to remember that. Let's pray for the bread. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you chose to make this sacrifice and for Jesus to be that sacrifice. All the physical harm that he suffered, the scourging, the beatings, the humiliation, and we know that his glory came from his humiliation and from ours. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for this bread that allows us and gives us something to see, to remember his body, which he so freely gave for us, for our sins. We ask that all of us examine ourselves and make full reconciliation with you as we do this. In Christ's name, amen. Let's pray for the cup. Likewise, Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for that sacrifice, but let us never take for granted the amount of blood that was shed for us, for our sins, to cover our sins, to help us stand as justified in your sight, to stand as pure, white as snow. So thankful for Jesus' willingness to go through that terrible torture, that Passover night. Help us never to take that sacrifice for granted. In Christ's name, amen. separate from the Lord's Supper, we're also commanded to give on the first day of the week. And we know that if we love God, we'll keep His commandments. Let's pray a special blessing for the gift. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we get to come here in this comfortable place to listen to another wonderful sermon about your word and about your son and just the wonderful, wonderful gifts that came from that sacrifice that we've been so blessed with. We're so thankful that we live here in this country that allows us to do this without fear of any outside interference. Heavenly Father, help us to never take those blessings for granted, for we know that not everyone has these freedoms. Heavenly Father, help us to be cheerful givers with our money, with our time. Help us to do it with the right hearts. And if we can't do it with the right hearts, help us to keep our money. We ask for restoration and we ask for reconciliation with you in all things. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's stand for our closing hymn.
You are the words of love.
Let's pray, please. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunities that we've had this weekend. We pray that we all may be strengthened through your word and that we may go forth and be lights in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few announcements. Please remember to put your communion cups in the trash basket as you leave. A special contribution is being taken today for victims of the flooding in eastern Kentucky and surrounding areas. Many of our sisters and brothers in those areas in Christ are among the affected. Please mark your gift for flood relief. Retired men's breakfast will be Tuesday at 9 a.m. If you plan to attend, please sign up on the list on the bulletin board. Central's Redbirds will have lunch at the Mad Greek restaurant on Tuesday, August 9th at 11 a.m. All ladies 50 or better, they admit that? All ladies 50 or better are invited to enjoy the fellowship. See Sheila Frakes if you have any questions. Remember these in prayer. Carrie Van Tine has appointments scheduled on Tuesday and Thursday of this week. His therapy for prostate cancer is going well, but Deborah and Carrie ask for your prayers that he may be able to have the needed surgery soon. Ed Kelly was not able to be moved to a rehab facility because an infection was found late in this week. He continues to be at Johnson City Medical Center. Dean Hayes, husband of Edna Hayes, is still hospitalized after a brain bleed that was found that he was doing better Saturday evening. Gail and Steve Sides have both tested positive for COVID, but are doing okay with the modern symptoms, moderate symptoms. They will continue to be in quarantine for a few days. Now, Tim Haywood has an announcement.
I'll be pretty brief. In 2 weeks, you'll start seeing college students that'll be joining us here at Central, and probably sooner. In fact, we've already got some med students that are back. And so I just want to remind y'all to do the things that you do best. Greet them, welcome them, make them feel at home and part of our family while they're here. There is a sign-up sheet on the visitor's counter. If you would like to provide a meal for us one Tuesday night, we would love that. And y'all have done a great job of doing that for years and years. So please just keep that up, sign up, and when you see the college students, welcome them. We'll have a Adopt-A-Student program again this year. Once they get here and we get to know them for a week or two, then we'll start adopting them out to you so that you can have that closer relationship with them and bring them in closer to the family. I want to ask a special prayer request on of you this week and next week to be praying for our college ministry, both for the upcoming semester, but also specifically we're leaving, nine of us are leaving on Friday to go to Panama on a mission trip. We're going to be going to the remote rainforest village of Valle Risco. And so Josh Johnson and myself, Jenna Jacobs, Sierra Tate, who's visiting with us this morning, Maddie Henry, who worships with us when she's not at her home in Jackson, several others. There's nine of us joining Phil Wagner from the Creve Hall Church of Christ, and we'll be going down and having this mission trip. So I know that you're ready to leave, but if you don't mind, let's pray for that trip, and then you'll be dismissed. And please keep us in your prayers this week and next week as we're traveling. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for all you do for us and all you've done for us. And thank you for the opportunities that we have to share your gospel all over the world. And thank you for the hearts of these young college students who are willing to do that, to make sacrifices, to go to lands that are foreign to them, to show your love and your grace and your mercy, and to show service to other people. Thank you for the many people in this room who have generously helped to allow these students to go with funds and support and prayers. And help us to be in constant prayer for this trip, for the safety of the individuals participating, and for the souls that we'll be encountering. Help us to encounter many souls who are seeking truth. And Father, after we leave and come back home, continue to bless the church in Panama and all over the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.